Today we'll be picking up in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, if you want to start turning there. Who here enjoys lighting off fireworks? Now, I don't know what that says about you, because I think it might be illegal in Ohio. But where I grew up in Germany, it's definitely very legal, especially on New Year's Eve. In fact, it's almost like a flip is switched every year, and just everybody goes crazy, and there's a bunch of chaos. And so, you know, as I was growing up in Germany, every year for New Year's Eve, my family would have a party and invite people from our church, and we would just celebrate the new year together. And every time, we would go outside and spend some time lighting off fireworks. And every year, I would have several sparklers. Actually, a lot, because you know they come in packages of like 100. I have a bunch of sparklers, and I'm trying to light off these sparklers. But I usually wasn't very successful, because I had a lighter pretty similar to this one. And keep in mind, this is December, January, so it's winter, it's very cold. My hands are kind of numb, shaking a little bit. I'm trying to flick the lighter. And if I eventually do get a flame, there's also the wind that just would blow the flame out. And so I usually wasn't very successful. What I needed was like a huge torch where I could just light off the sparklers and light off all the fireworks. And that kind of relates to what we're learning today, because today in our passage, John writes about this commandment to love one another. And on one hand, he says that it's an old commandment that God's people have had from the beginning. But as we know, they failed in obeying that commandment. But what we read in John is that Christ is the true light. And because he demonstrates the Father's love, now we, as his followers, can love. So let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 together. In verse 7, John writes, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And so we see our main idea is that Christ, the true light, frees us to live in the light by loving other believers. The true light frees us to live in the light by loving other believers. Let's pray. God, you are good. So I pray that today you would help us to taste and see that as we open up your word. Father, I pray that our love would abound more and more with knowledge, so that we may approve what is excellent, which is you, Father, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I pray that we would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to your praise and to your glory. God, I pray that we'd be strengthened in the power of the Spirit to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Well, it's been about a month since we've had an SGA chapel. So I just want to spend a moment to quickly review what we've been talking about this year. First of all, in our first message, we learned that Christ the Son reveals the Father to his disciples, who then pass this message onto us, believers. And then as we continue reading this letter, we see that God is light and believers are able to and supposed to imitate him by walking in the light. And this is only possible through Christ. And then we saw that the one who knows God obeys his commandments, walking as Jesus walked. Again, continuing this idea that as the Son reveals who the Father is, we imitate the Son. And so we follow Christ, and what did Christ do while he was here? Well, he loved. And today in our passage, John refers to the commandment, the great commandment, to love God and love others. And that's where we get our main idea, that the true light frees us to live in the light by loving others. See, abiding in true and loving fellowship recognizes God's love, and that love makes us his children. And so then we imitate him and we live in the light as he is in the light. And so our first point for today is that believers should and can love God and love others. And we see this in verses 7 and 8. Believers should, referring to the old commandment, and believers can, referring to this new aspect of the commandment, they can love God and love others. Well, this commandment to love, in what way is it old? Well, when we look at the Old Testament, and especially Leviticus, we read in Leviticus 19:18 that God tells his people that they shall love their neighbors as themselves. He says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And then in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, God says, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And these are familiar verses to us. And we also know that in Matthew 22, Jesus picks this up and he summarizes the whole law and the prophets with these two great commandments. And so we start to see love in the context of a covenantal relationship between a God and his people. God delivers this people out of Egypt and he expects them to love him and to love one another. And so here in our passage today, John is pointing out God's expectation of this commandment, and that it's not a new thing. It's an old thing that God's people have had from the very beginning. There is this obligation, this expectation to love one another. And it's a little bit like when you're in class one day and your professor refers to that paper and you don't know what they're talking about, and you're like, what paper? And your professor's like, that paper that I mentioned at the beginning of the semester in the syllabus. And then you go back and look at the syllabus and you're like, oh yeah, that paper. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded about the assignments we have in class. And in the same way, we need to be reminded of this commandment to love one another. And the fact that it's an old commandment that we have had from the beginning. But then in verse 8, John goes on to say that this commandment is also new. So in what ways is this commandment new? Well, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they were supposed to love God and love others, but they largely failed to do that. But then as we read verse 8 of 1 John 2, we see that because the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. The true light is already shining and the darkness is passing away. It's shining right now. But what that means is there was a time when this light was only a hope. Listen to what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 60, verses 19 and 20. He's looking forward to a day where he writes, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." He's looking forward to a day when all will be light, when all will be as it should be. And then we read in John 8 that Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And then here in 1 John 2, 7 and 8, we see that since the true light is shining, this command to love one another is being truly and fully expressed. And that's what John means when he says that, that this commandment is true in Christ and in us. And if we read Jesus' farewell discourse in John chapters 13 through 17, we get a much fuller picture of what this is. And Dr. Bowden referenced some of this in his message on Wednesday. But I just want to highlight a few verses from these chapters that I think will help us understand what John is talking about in 1 John 2. In John chapter 13, 1, John writes that when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then he washes his disciples' feet, demonstrating this type of self-sacrificial love that he's talking about. And that act also symbolizes how he would soon wash their sins. A little while later, in verses 34, 35, Jesus says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In chapter 14, verses 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then he later says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And a few verses later in John 15, verse 12, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as he has loved them. And then Jesus ends this discussion, this sermon, with a prayer. And we heard about that on Wednesday. He prays for his disciples and for the people that will believe in Jesus through his disciples' testimony. And that's you and that's me. And he prays this. In verses 22 and 23, he says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and I have loved them, even as you loved me." And if you remember Dr. Bowden's message on Wednesday, he talked about Christ's glory. And in verse 24, Christ prays that believers would see his glory. And a few verses later, he says, "I made known to them your name," talking about the Father's name, the Father's glory. "And I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Brothers and sisters, Christ prayed that we would see his glory. He prayed that we would see his love. And when we see the glory of Christ at the cross, that is when we love. Because the true light is shining, the commandment to love is truly and fully expressed in Christ's love for us and our love for one another. God's love is the beam that illuminates and that lights a dark world. God's love for us, which is displayed in Jesus Christ, who died as a propitiation for our sins. Therefore, his commandment that we love one another and Christ's love, that is what illuminates a dark world. So picture a sunrise. I think that's the image that we're getting here. There were people waiting for the day to come, standing in darkness, and then they start to see the sun come up over the horizon. And the true light is shining. And we are waiting for the day when things are as they should be, when all will be light. That day is coming, but the true light is already shining over the horizon, and the sun continues to rise. According to Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to God are radiant because of Christ, because of Jesus, who manifests the Father's love. We can know God, we can see his love, and we can express that love to other people. And so this is so key. Notice this connection between God and his people. So we read in the Bible, in 1 John, God is light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And in Matthew 5, he says that believers are the light of the world. But how is God light? Well, it's his love. God is love. And his love is manifested through Jesus Christ. And so when we see Christ's love, and when we love one another, that is the light of the world. As we see the glory of Christ, it is in our nature to reflect that. And so then that leads us to our second point that we see in verses 9 through 11, that we, as believers, live in the light by loving others. And similar to what we've seen in previous passages, John mentions these hypothetical people that represent different types of people in the church. In verse 9, he mentions a person, and he parallels two things about this person. This person says he is in the light, but he hates his brother. And John writes, that person is walking in darkness. This church that John is writing to had people who claimed to be walking in the light, but their attitude and their actions proved otherwise. They weren't loving their brothers and sisters. They were speaking lies about who Jesus was, and in fact, we read later in 1 John that some of them actually left the church. And as we think about our situation today, maybe the way that we hate each other is a little bit different. But we can struggle with this today. So many churches have conflict, and instead of dealing with conflict in a healthy way, people respond and treat one another in a hateful way. And we see that here at Cedarville too. Think about how sometimes we respond to our roommates or our closest friends even. As a student here at Cedarville, we have to pray and discern, are my actions and attitude hateful or loving towards another person? This person who is my brother and sister, are my actions and attitudes hateful towards that person? As we keep reading in verse 10, John describes the one who loves his brother, and that person is abiding in the light and isn't causing any stumbling. In verse 11, we see that the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, is walking in the darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Someone who hates has not seen the love of Christ that illuminates the darkness. And therefore, that person is just groping around in the darkness. So as we read this passage, and as we go from here today, the application is simple, yet so important and so profound. We need to love our brothers and sisters. So part of what it means to love is to act in a way towards someone that recognizes what their best is. And so sometimes we need to realize they may not understand that we're loving them. But when we look at Christ, we see this example of self-sacrificial giving. And that's what we're called to do. And the best way to love people is to direct other people towards God, to see him and treasure him more clearly. And that's really one main reason why we read the Bible. It's not just for ourselves, so that we can be changed by God's word. But if these are the words of God, if this is truth, we need to hear it. But our brothers and sisters around us need to hear it too. And God can use what you're learning as you read your Bible to influence and point your brothers and sisters towards Christ. And as we continue to think about what it means to love someone, I just want to briefly address some of the lies that we often hear in society about what it means to love. Sometimes we hear things like love always celebrates what another person wants. Love never judges someone. If we want to love someone, it's our job to affirm them in whatever they want. But is that what love looks like? One of the things that love involves is doing something for someone's good, even if they don't really like it. It reminds me of last week as we were going on fall break. My roommate, a few weeks or months ago, I blocked Netflix on my laptop, and he has to give me a password in order for me to watch it. And so as we were going on break last week, I said, "Hey, Luke, can you, you know, give me the password so I can watch it?" And he responded, he's like, "Nah, you don't need that, Isaac." So, which, I mean, he was right. And at the time, it was like, oh, okay. But at the same time, I think that was good for me. Or like maybe when an RA hands out a personal caution, that can actually be a way to love someone. I was reading an article a few days ago about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And there are two basketball players, they play on the Lakers. And spoiler, they both want to win the national championship. So they're trying to do that. And I came across this quote because they're both trying to push each other to get better. And so LeBron James wrote, "I can get in his ear, Anthony Davis, and he can get in my ear. But it's all to make each other better and challenge each other, which will ultimately be better for the team. We're able to be straightforward with one another and not sugarcoat anything." So these two basketball players are able to keep each other accountable this way because it's for the other person's good and it's for the good of the team to help them accomplish our goal. And part of what it means for us to love our brothers and sisters is to do that with our friends. When it comes to sin, but also when it comes to just seeing and treasuring Christ for who he is and seeing God's love and living in response to that. Think back to Aaron Cook's chapel on Tuesday. He talked a lot about biblical friendship and fighting for one another so that we see and treasure Christ more clearly. That is what it means to walk in the light with one another and to walk in love with one another. We help one another turn away from sin, but we also help them turn towards Christ and to see and behold God's glory and to be changed by it. That is really the best way to help your brother and sister. And so as we think about doing this, it can be overwhelming because right now we're in a room with about 3,000 people. And it's like, how do you do this to 3,000 people? And a lot of it depends on our relationships with people. We have to form these relationships. But I think the way in which we love people is dependent on our relationship with that person. And so think about, who are your close friends? Who are those people in your sphere of influence? And how can you impact them towards Christ? How can you be pursuing Christ yourself and then be pushing them towards Christ? But I think there's also a balance, because I know sometimes I can think, oh, that person's not, I don't really know that person, so I can't really love them. Or like maybe if I'm an RA and I see someone struggling, but they're not in my hall, it'd be easy to just kind of ignore them and say, oh, they're in someone else's hall. That person can deal with them. Or maybe if I'm in an org and I see another person that I could show love towards, but they're not in my org, so I'll let someone else do that. So this takes wisdom to figure out who are those people in your sphere of influence, but then also recognize that God may bring someone along your path that you don't really know, and you can have an opportunity to love and encourage that person towards Christ. I ran a half marathon a couple days ago. Correction, I ran the first half, and the second half I jogged and walked and limped, and it was pretty brutal. But I was surprised that as I was trying to finish that race, there were so many people on the sideline cheering me on. And in fact, a lot of them were even saying my name, which confused me at first, but my name was on my chest, so it's not that surprising. But they're like, oh, good job, Isaac. And that was really encouraging to me and helped me to keep going. So these people that I didn't even know were able to cheer me on and push me towards the finish line. But you know what? Once I got to towards the end of the race, I think I was maybe like half a mile away from the finish line, I saw my family. And my younger sister, Abby, was there. And she was in her nice clothes, but she actually started jogging alongside of me. Now, she wasn't on the racetrack but because she wasn't able to. But she actually knows me and was able to help encourage me by running with me. And that's kind of how it is when we love our brothers and sisters. We should and can love any and all of our brothers and sisters, but the degree to which we love them may sometimes depend on the relationship. So throughout life, as believers, we should be trying to grow and treasure Christ's glory more and more. And as we do this together, sometimes you'll interact with someone and just give them a little push, cheer them on. Other people, you may have the opportunity to run alongside them. And you know, there are going to be some people, sometime you're going to have the opportunity to carry them, or you may need them to carry you across the finish line. But that's part of what it means to abide together in fellowship and live in the light by loving others together. So we have a couple minutes left today. So I was just thinking we could spend a few minutes before we close in prayer and a final song. Just take a couple minutes now to reflect and think about what we've learned. And to maybe turn to the person next to you, the people around you, and just briefly pray together for one another. So take a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll pray together and close in a final song.